can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Oh boy, oh boy. I've just like musical chairs, so I've had to vacate the normal chair I sit in, Don, operating the panel. You just sit on your ass over there doing nothing. I've had to, because we've got a...
But the world wouldn't go around without you. Keep peddling.
This wouldn't go around without me.
I know that.
So we've just spoken to two people, Ian Cook from Brisbane, and we spoke to Craig Gabriel about Novak Djokovic. And now we've got... there's a lot of things I could... So we've gone from... it's a rose.
This
is a rose between two thorns. I know that's sexist and I shouldn't say that, but Don, when you're our age, you can say anything you like.
But what I'm more intrigued about is the car. I'm just working...
Well, hang on.
A hard top. She came in a hard top. You've got your roof down. I would like to know how you made contact with the traffic lights.
Well, weren't she, the cat's mother we're talking about? She got electric windows in the car and it was hot. Now I'm going to introduce who we're speaking to.
And there's a sunroof.
Oh, so you put your head through the sunroof. That's
it. This person is... one of Australia's leading...
Stop. Just introduce
me. No, hang on. Oh. This is not for your benefit.
All right.
This is for the people...
Listen, you could have made an effort before you've come in here. Have a look at the hair.
I know.
Bedraggled. You've got your Indian top on.
I've come out of the beach. It is summer.
Who are we talking to?
At least I've got hair.
Anyway. This is like the woman who you told to take the mask off in the restaurant. What's wrong with the hair?
Well, have a look. It's all bedraggled.
Well, that's a great
hair.
Look, Don.
What,
as I say, hair. About you talking about hair?
My hair before
you're like a hairless Mexican hairless cat. So, hang on. I'm going to introduce who we're speaking to. This is not for your benefit. Who I'm speaking to? This is. She.
I think her pronouns
are her and she. No, I'm not sure. We'll ask her.
That'll do me. I'm happy with that.
Shut up, Don. Is one of Australia's leading sports presenters and producers with a media career spanning over 25 years and three continents across television, film, radio, print and digital media. She has been nominated for and won a number of awards as a producer and presenter and is an in-demand keynote speaker.
Can you stop?
And... Yeah, shut up. And
that's not the way to speak to a woman.
This is for the people listening. They might want to know what this person I'm about to introduce, what her credentials are. And she is a very sought-after public speaker, keynote address speaker, and a MC, a master of ceremonies, or a mistress, a master of ceremonies.
Master.
Just a ceremony.
Just a ceremony presenter.
Yeah, that'll do.
And her name, her... her stage name.
I just can't wait for the
name. It's actually the real one.
Oh, it couldn't be.
As the phone goes off.
Working.
Hang on.
You're not going to answer the phone.
Eddie.
No.
Oh, don't just be very careful. No, just be very careful. We're in the middle of a podcast and I was about to introduce... Shut up, Don.
If I did this, you would go right off.
We're killing two birds with one stone.
You're big noting. Just because it's Eddie McGuire, you're big noting.
I'm just
Eddie,
about...
Eddie, you have usurped our guest.
Jesus, Ed. Don, shut up. I'm just about to introduce on the podcast you're live.
Pull your head in.
Don, if you don't shut the fuck up, I'll knock you out. In a minute. I was just about to introduce Tiffany Cherry on our podcast and you're live. You're actually part of the podcast as we speak and
G'day,
I thought
Eddie.
I'll take the phone call because we're staggered at Channel 7 saying they've been duped by someone who's released the audio of Beck and whoever else she's on with.
Mike Amor.
Yeah, apparently they weren't duped when they did it to Molly Meldrum with the off-microphone interview they did with Elton John at that time. That's a different thing, wasn't it? But I always laugh at news organisations who don't like it when things are leaked from within.
Very good. And now, Ed, I don't know if you want to be recorded. You are being recorded. You're on our podcast as we speak.
Happy New Year, Ed.
So this is Tiffany saying Happy New Year.
Can I just say, ladies and gentlemen, on this magnificent podcast that's taken the world by storm with Don Scott and the great Sam Newman, it is my pleasure now to introduce Tiffany Cherry, one of the great sports reporters, a woman who broke the glass ceiling not only on radio and television, but doing great things in the community. Over to you, Don and Sam.
That's thank you, Ed. I'll speak to you later.
Superb.
That's why they pay Ed the big bucks. He said in a very short sentence or two what I was trying to say.
You didn't set that up.
So, no, he
not.
Just...
Everything's informal here.
No, he just rang because he was telling me a bit of guff about Rebecca Madden being sprung.
And Mike, yes.
Yeah, who?
Mike Amor.
Amor.
Yeah, that
one. I see. And Ed thinks it's a bit rich that a news organisation's being worried about being hacked. anyhow... I did say who you were, didn't I?
You did.
Tiffany Cherry. That is your stage name. I understand.
What's your real name, Tiff?
That's it.
Well, that's right. And you're married?
No, never been. Unlike yourself.
Okay,
no?
so you had a child in the car?
No.
No, we'll get to this.
I had a child in the car.
Yes.
And had her on my own as a single mum.
Yeah.
Never been married.
I thought that
Cherry
was
is my dad's, obviously, my dad's surname, and Tiffany was the name my mum decided to call me.
So I'm so you you're a single mum?
Yep.
And do we know it? Do we know the father?
No, I had it with a donor.
I see. Well, there you are.
Had Vivian with a donor, yes.
Well, I didn't know anything about you.
Did you not
know
that?
So there you are.
I thought that was a terrific story. It appeared in the Herald Sun in the supplements section.
When?
2015.
Well,
would
done.
That be right?
That would be correct because Vivian just turned seven.
Was it just? No, I think your daughter was born because the way you were writing it or talking, I think she'd been born.
She had. I was recounting. Nursing her at the time. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
You were recounting what had happened, and I thought, shit, that story really got me in. We've got to it too early, but
I'm so embarrassed. I didn't know that about you.
No,
I didn't know that about you. Oh, that is disgraced, Don. And I know Tiffany reasonably well, but I think
it was a great day.
So, in a nutshell, just so you can answer a few questions in your head. So, I got to an age. I was in a relationship, wasn't working. My ex didn't want a child, and I did. And
that's
I thought
what you
this
said
is going to
the article.
This
fantastic
is going to one of us is going to resent each other and have the worst decision. So I got out of that, and then. A number of months later decided I would just go and do it myself and get the monkey off my back and then be able to be in a relationship without the pressure, which is awful, of, you know, you're dating someone and you get to a certain age and people are like, does she want to have a child?
Why did you write the article?
I had a lot of people ask me how I went about it. And back at the 7 years ago or close to 8 years ago when I made the decision, having a child by a donor was very... You know, very out there, and a lot of people looked down on it, and I was like, well, this is just ridiculous because I shouldn't have to answer.
It wasn't
to
a
anybody.
Cathartic experience for you.
Well, the whole thing, having a child, is incredibly cathartic. But I know. You know, I just wanted to be able to say to women or men even, you can go and do this. You don't have to be in a relationship. You don't have to be tied to somebody. You don't have to.
But you did it literally did it by yourself.
In fact, you
going to a New Year's Eve party, going home that night.
And all the ladies there told me, because Vivian kept kicking me and I was poking her back saying, settle down, this is really not a lot of fun. And they said, you're in labour. And I was like, I'm a week early, I'm not in labour. Anyway, I went home and literally the stroke of midnight, I went to bed, I was exhausted, and she gave me an almighty kick and I fell asleep. And then at 12:43 a.m. I can't believe I'm sitting here talking to the two of you. I felt my waters break, and it was
You said it in the
and
article.
I jumped out of bed and went, God, I can't do this in the bed or on the carpet. So I jumped onto the floorboards and stood there, and there I was on my own.
Yeah, but you'd got in the car and drove the car.
Well, I rang the obstetrician, and she was a standby because my other one was overseas and not back for a bit. Anyway,
I know two women who've done exactly the same thing. You would know them.
Who?
You would.
I know one of them.
You do know one of them?
I'm sure I do.
Yeah, well, anyway,
she wouldn't
mention.
Mind me saying her name.
No, of course not.
Anna Pinkers?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
And I know
and
another.
And I've spoken to Anna about
and
it.
And another woman who lives in Hong Kong who used to be Steve Price's producer at 3AW called Shannon Deacon.
Okay, I don't
she
know
did
Shannon.
It. She got a beautiful little girl, and I'm not sure what Anna's got. She got a beautiful little girl too.
Well, I'll tell you what, so many people came up to me after that article, men included. In fact, a man on a tram came and tapped me on the shoulder and said, I just want to say, that was amazing what you've done. And women went out and went and followed suit and felt the freedom to be able to do it.
So did I notice in the car what is the race background?
So Vivian is, well, as far as we're aware, she's allowed to meet her dad when she's 18. That's the law in Australia, which precludes a lot of sperm coming into Australia from overseas because a lot of them don't want to be known. And in America, you don't have to be known. You can go for your life. But her background is American Indian, African American, Cuban, and Mexican.
So she's a young girl of colour.
Yeah, she
yes.
is. Yep, absolutely.
And I didn't get her. I just saw I think she had a lot of curly.
She's got curly hair.
I just at the lights before they. Don was fascinated
in fact,
how
she was
this
going to come in, and then at the last second, she went around to her friend's house.
Oh, Don was fascinated how we had this conversation at the lights. He said, "What lights?" I said, "What the traffic lights?"
Because you know what, there was a Mustang, and my dad's a mechanic and has a Mustang, and it was a 1971, which was the year I was born. And
so
I
is he your father?
Saw this gorgeous car, and a very handsome man. And I thought that there's only one person that could be.
That's me.
So I went up beside him.
So what's your father's a hood from Myrtleford, is he?
Yes. Well, from Bright.
Tiffany.
Bright, is he?
Tiffany.
Yes, Sammy.
I'm guessing on what's your daughter's name?
Vivian.
Did you seek out that...
ethnicity, yes.
Yes.
Yes, so because I didn't want her to have... Living in Australia, I didn't want her to have the pain of having to, you know, look after her skin all the time.
Good
even
on
though
you.
She still has to.
So you but go along to a...
I thought, well, bugger this. If I'm going to do it this way, which is a pain in the backside and, you know, not the way I envisage as it growing up, then I'm going to at least pick one thing.
So you go into what's known as a sperm library, do you?
Yeah, but there weren't that many. So a lot of people think, oh, wow, hallelujah.
Are
you
they go. All, are they all categorised? Black, Chinese,
yep.
Japanese, all that? Fantastic.
She wrote this was in the article. It's
well,
I'm, just
I know. I'm embarrassed.
He's asking in person. That's why.
I'm embarrassed. I didn't know.
It's a great article, John. You ought to read it.
I will. I'm embarrassed. I didn't. That's pathetic of me.
But there wasn't a lot of choice. But anyway, I had tried before and it didn't work. And then this time around, I was looking. And this might sound a bit, you know, altruistic and whatever, but it's it absolutely happened. So I was looking and I saw this and I thought, yep, I'm going to actually go with a darker skin. And the only thing I wanted was that he would be 6 foot or more.
He?
Well, he is a sperm donor. And
I thought you meant the baby.
No. And and have a clean bill of health. And so I found this one. There was only two with the ethnicity that we were talking about. And I looked at it and then he'd written a letter. And I read the first paragraph. And I know you're probably going to, yeah, whatever, but absolutely knew he was the father of my child. I knew I had this incredible...
Do you know him?
No.
Does he know you?
No.
And do you...
Vivian's allowed to meet him when she's 18 or find out about
him. But somebody, isn't it in Australia that you can't meet... Is this why you did it? You went to Sydney and there's only this clinic available in Australia?
Well, there might be more now, but again, 7 years ago, or 8 years ago, it was obviously quite rare. And I... only come about because I was involved in bike riding and I was riding with one of the ladies from who ran the Giant Live bike. Anyway, one day we were riding along as you do and I said, oh, how was your week? She said, oh, great, we had a baby and I nearly fell off my bike. And I didn't realise she was gay and then I said to her, oh, so obviously I realised and I said, how did this happen? And she told me about the clinic and then I said, do you have to be gay to do it? And she said, no. And I said, well, can you share the number with me? And so... 12 months later, there you go.
But you couldn't do it in Australia. You couldn't. There was some hookup you said in the article about Australia.
There are donors in Australia, but there are only 12. Well, at the time, there's probably a lot more. But I didn't want someone that I didn't know, who may have been quite annoying, tapping me on the shoulder, walking down the street, saying, "Guess what? My little Johnny's half brother of your daughter." And I just and also them going to school and not knowing each other and potentially. I just wanted the gene pool to be as far away from where I lived as possible.
Anyway. Think this is about
no,
as naive.
No, it was a great article.
You think this is about as naive a question.
No,
so the gay person that had the child, she physically...
No, she didn't.
She adopted someone.
No, she has. She had her partner and her partner had the child. So when you're in a same-sex relationship,
yep.
if they're two women, so yep. obviously one of the lady women will yep. have the child, yep. and so her partner was inseminated.
So the partner got a donor to make...
Eddie's going to be thrilled that he introduced this.
Yeah.
No, it's a...
So, anyhow, the pretext of you coming in here is our conversation through the window or the sunroof at the lights, and you said you had just, we like to think we're ahead of the curve here, you've just been made head of female engagement, a Golf Australia initiative.
And Golf Australia, and I said, and you
Golf
had
Australia,
a little
yeah.
bit... of a role in that. And
what's that?
And you had a little bit of a role in that. And the reason being is that about 10 years ago, maybe 9, you and I played golf together and
Yes.
And we were playing with one of the Aberratney boys who is the owner of Drummond Golf.
Yes,
and
I remember.
We were talking about women playing golf and they were talking about ambassadors and I think they'd had Kari Webb as an ambassador. And about halfway around, you stopped. You said, I've got an idea of a great ambassador, and we all stopped and said, yes, Sam. And then you said, right here.
That's
it. And on the back of that, I became an ambassador. And then I started my own golf day, which unfortunately you couldn't play and you were busy, but we had great, it was too great
success.
Why
was I busy?
I don't know. You're probably,
oh, jeez.
God knows.
No, Sam, I wouldn't make an excuse.
No, you were busy. You were already doing something. But you did did ring me back and say you couldn't come. But, you know, we had some big names playing it and it got coverage all around Australia and it was called Token Blokes. So instead of having token females play,
yep.
token chicks, we turned the tables and we put a male celebrity in each group of, well, we tried to have 3 females, but it was that hard 8-9 years ago to find 3
where
females.
Where was it? Where would you play?
Now I've got them. Oh, my goodness. Down Eastern Valley on the way to Domaine Chandon. What's the...
Yeah, Heritage.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. And it was... fabulous, and it was a massive success. So
I turned the first sod with Jack Nicklaus. I interviewed Jack Nicklaus that's one of his courses.
Yes,
and I interviewed him, and I remember saying to him, because it's not a sandbelt course. I said, "Now, Jack, I said the sandbelt is the ideal course in Melbourne." And I said, "How do you make a sandbelt course?" And he said, "Sam, you put a lot of sand on it." I
said, "There you go." They imported the sand from down.
They imported the sand.
They did.
Yeah. That's right.
So John Tickell was
absolutely very good friend of Jack's, and they were great. Not entrepreneur, a great visionary.
Yes.
John Tickell.
Yep. I've run into him occasionally down across the Domain Bakery.
Now, Tiffany, how did you land the role of...
Head of Female Engagement.
No, Head of Female Engagement. That is a very swish title. I like that. Head of Female Engagement.
So I was asked by Golf Australia, which came from James Sutherland, who's the new CEO.
Yes.
He obviously came from cricket and someone I admire immensely for what he did with cricket, to MC their strategy conference. So he came in and said, right, we want to hear from the whole... you know, the whole industry, what we need to do, because golf's flailing. It really should be a lot more successful than it is. And so that we ended up pivoting online because of the great COVID. And leading into it, I said, I've got some ideas on how to get more women involved in the game. They said, great, let's just chat at the end. So after day one, I went up to James. I said, look, I've got a job, but I'm just everything that's coming out of this, I can help you with. And they were talking about sustainability, which I've done a lot of work in. And
what's that mean?
Sustainability, our environment, which is burning. And
you said another word, pivoting. Gee, that's a new word. That's a new
COVID,
one on
it's
me.
It's a big COVID word.
Is it? What does pivoting mean?
Come on.
No.
Kevin Bartlett talks about pivoting and turning on a dime and all that
that's
kind
right.
of
stuff. No. Sustainability, is this to do with golf?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, golf takes up an enormous amount of land and we want to make sure that the land
and
is
water
being used
and
viably,
all that and chemicals.
And also, you know, the wildlife that it that obviously can sustain.
What, on a golf course?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I play down the National. There's kangaroos actually follow you around the round. Tiffany. Tiffany.
Anyway, so at the end
and
of
so
that,
I
said,
asked James Sutherland. Asked James because his father taught me at school.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Ivan. And
Ivan.
And he married the headmaster's daughter.
Who? Ivan did.
Ivan did.
Different
Ivan. Ivan did.
Oh,
Ivan did. So I asked James Sutherland to come in here because I was annoyed with Golf Australia because they didn't do enough to push back against the ridiculous cancelling of golf in this state when COVID. They said Dan Andrews. I'm not asking for an opinion here. This is my opinion. Dan Andrews said no. He said golf's dangerous. Golf is about the safest activity you could do out in the open, and that's why I protested on the steps of Parliament House. And I said to James, Wanted James Sutherland to come on and say, why aren't they shouting at the government saying, let people play golf? It's ridiculous.
Well, the great thing is that we are now playing.
Are you a golfer?
Well, look,
you're a hack
golf.
Or a good one?
I play off about 24.
Everyone's a hack.
But you know,
Don,
growing up, so my dad, again, I keep bringing him up, but if he was not at the service station, he was on the golf course. My brother was encouraged to play, and it wasn't anything against me, but it was just I was not encouraged at all. So I used to go and steal their golf balls because it used to piss me off. Years later, I was working Channel 7, and one of my ex-colleagues by the name of Craig Hutchison kept coming back from golf days with exclusive stories. And I was like, what the hell is going on? How can you be getting stories? And he said, oh, well, if you can't handle it. So I decided, bugger it, I'm going to go and get some lessons. That's how I became a teacher.
You look like you've been in a famine, and Craig looks like he's the bloke who started it. He's been eating food.
I know
the
I am eating.
Here we go. Yeah, but you are physically very strong. You shook my hand before. This is a very strong.
Are you allowed to say that word?
Well, we do.
Yeah, no, we're trying.
And I look at my legs, and I did a little bit of research.
You're looking at your legs, Don.
Shut up, will you? Because my research, Russell Green told me that you blew him off the map when you went.
He's a ripper.
I beg your pardon, Don.
Well, she blew him off the map when they went bike riding.
Please, Don, please.
What are you
bike riding.
Yeah, and you just blew him away. Is that right?
We went bike riding and I went a little bit faster than he.
A little bit faster. You left him in there. Yeah. So you're very
ago.
So what do you do? Do you try? What do you
No, I haven't. But I haven't had the opportunity for a long time because as a single mum, without hanging my hat on that and, you know, bringing
But
out
you must be doing something.
I go walking. We've got
Is that all?
At the moment, but I'll be getting back on the bike. That's part of my New Year's resolution.
So what are you, an athlete? Are you an athlete, a natural athlete?
I don't know.
I
played sport, yeah, of course, like the two of you, absolutely, yes.
So what did you play?
I was a runner, triathlete, hockey player.
Oh, really?
So Tiffany, we've got out of you the fact that the head of engagement.
How I got it, yes.
No, yeah, and you said it's about sustainability and all that.
So it's about getting
what
more
are
women.
What are you going to do? What is your goal?
My remit, of course, is to get more women playing. At the moment, there's 80-20 membership.
How do you do that?
So you've got to go and ask them what they want. That's the massive
ask
big.
Who?
Ask women what they want. And from what I've experienced as a mum, there's a lot of females out there who have had children, especially between the ages of 0 and 6, who don't play golf because there's simply nothing there to help them. There's no child minding. There's no
opportunities. I was just going to say, is there a crèche at a golf course?
So one of the key things, I think, is to bring in 2 days a week, turn the clubhouse part of it into a bit of a crèche, and then you've got those kids. What do they want? If they grow up with a golf club in their hand, they play little mini golf. Then the next thing they want to do is they want to start playing golf.
The first thing you want to put on James Sutherland is the fact that you need to scoop up Vivian. Go and sit up the front of a plane and go over to South Korea or the Philippines and ask them how they instruct and get their youth to dominate world golf.
That's exactly
because,
right.
You need to go on an orienting.
I don't know.
Trip to find out how they do it because they have taken it over women's golf.
Tiffany, how would I'm not a golfer. Now there's a body called Australia Golf or whatever you call it.
Golf Australia,
yeah. Yeah. Now these places are exclusive golf clubs. How is Golf Australia going to influence these various golfing clubs?
Well, there's obviously the private clubs and then there's the public golf courses, which are run by the, here's another word for you, the LGAs, so the local government authorities. So they're all about, they're your councils. So you as a council, as a ratepayer, can go to your council and say, well, what are you doing with this land? So it's about us looking at it and saying, what other things can we do with the land? What else can we do?
Are there many local government golf courses?
Yeah, many, 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 yes. And then private-wise, well, there it comes to a point where the cost of running a golf course, how much can they put up their membership before the members say, enough's enough, I can't keep affording whatever. So, and how are you going to be able to, if they're not, if their membership isn't fully taken up, so why don't they go out and get more women to play? So therefore, the opportunity is there if you can get women to come into the into your golf club. And to answer your question, there's a lot of points to it, but it's not about telling men to say, come on, you've got to open your gates and you've got to open the doors and you've got to make women feel more welcome and changing something that's been consistent for many, many years historically. It's about emotionally tapping into those men and saying, okay, you've got a daughter, you've got your partner. Some people, men don't want to play with their partners, but that's fine. The women can play it at different times. But if you've got daughters or you've got loved ones who are close to you who are females, why would you be restricting them an opportunity to play a game that should be open to every single person?
And then you've got to fight against dinky little organisations like the Greens who want to close down all the public golf courses and make them dog spaces.
You go back to the LGAs and you say, okay, so we make this a multi-purpose venue. You know what? One brilliant idea, you know those moonlight cinemas?
What?
You go to the park, you go to the Tan or you're in Sydney overlooking the harbour. Why not make at night time? What does a golf course do at night time? They turn off the lights and it's
make
the driving
ball,
range into
a
moonlight cinema.
How brilliant would that be? In Dubai, in the United Arab Emirates, they have.
But how much money would it bring in, Don? And then you're also exposing the golf club to a variety of people that who walk in and go, "How good's this?" And then they look at the clubhouse and they say, "I might have my 21st birthday here, or my wedding, or my 70th."
They have fully blown golf tournaments over in the United Arab Emirates with golf courses completely floodlit. The whole
brilliant
course would play
night
at
golf.
Night.
It's superb.
The course I'm a member at, the National, the women are just as prevalent and have just as much run of the course as men.
Are there many women involved down
there? Yeah, plenty.
So it'd be interesting to know what the membership breakdown is. Nationally, it is roughly, 80-20, but I think it's 22-78. Yeah. But it's increasing, so the numbers are increasing. But here's a brilliant stat for you. 3 million people during COVID last year, so the last 12 months, let's say from 3 months ago, had played some form of golf. So we've got traditional golf, which is the 18 holes, and then you've got
mini
alternate golf. You've got mini golf, you've got driving range, you've got, they might go and play 6 holes, 9 holes, whatever it might be. Of that 3 million people, 1.8 million were females who love alternate golf. So therefore, there is a massive audience who want to play golf. They just don't necessarily have the time, have the money, have the whereabouts, the knowabouts, the whyabouts to go and become a member at a golf course and play traditional 18 holes.
Are you allowed to play 9 holes or something? It gives me the shits when I've played it. But you got to play 18 holes.
Well, that's
it's boring.
So imagine, so as a mum, you
what
might
are you
have.
For?
No, you don't have to play 18 holes. You can play 9 holes if you
and
like.
And you can actually get, I didn't even know this, I asked Karen Lunn, who's the CEO of the WPGA, Australasia, the Women's Professional Golf Association, that you can get a 9-hole.
Whipper.
You can get a 9-hole
membership.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Of that 22% you said before the break, age, the demographics, of that 22%, is there a...
microphone, Ivan, please.
Yep, sorry, boss.
Oh, shit.
Is there a age breakdown? Is there more, I'll say, older women playing than younger?
So going back to golf in general, it is the second highest participation sport for women aged 55, let's just say 50 and over, because they're women who are starting to obviously move on in their life and their children have got time on their hands. But you've got this massive amount basically from 25 to 55 who have children who don't necessarily have the time. So if you give them an opportunity, this was someone said this to me, you play to encourage women to start taking up the game because it's a lot of money to go and get all the gear and equipment and then you decide you don't want to do it, right? So how about golf courses offer the opportunity to play five holes for $5 for a month? Six holes for $6. Come down and then at the end, go and have a glass of wine if it's in the afternoon with your girlfriends. Women love to sit down and chat, debrief, or a coffee in the morning if it's a morning game. And but then do that for and give them an opportunity to taste the game and have a feel of it. And if they like it, then they might go and buy
it. Did you recognise all this, John, when you were playing in that golfing tournament with Tiffany? Is that why you recommended her as the ambassador?
I recommended her because, Don, unlike you, she's articulate, she's smart, she can string a few words together.
I'm just complimenting. This is a backhanded compliment.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I'm a great judge of people and character.
I know you
don't worry
about
that.
You're exceptional.
Yeah, don't worry about
just
that.
Just in a couple of holes of golf, you've picked it up.
18 we
18
played
was
on.
It? Oh,
yeah.
It took that long
I think we're at
in.
Victoria. We may have been playing Victoria, I believe. Can't remember.
Yeah, very good golf course, Victoria.
Great golf course.
You talk about women like to sit down and dissect their game and have a chat. You want to hear the blokes sit down and dissect every fucking shot they've ever played. It drives you mad. Okay. how I could have done this. And
what was his behaviour?
Whereas women don't actually talk about the golf. They talk about everything
else. No, that's right. Men talk about the golf.
Yeah. What was his behaviour like,
Tiffany?
Oh,
he was brilliant. You know
because
what,
I caddied for him one day in a Huntingdale tournament.
He gets a bit down on himself.
Yeah, well, I was. It was a par three at Huntingdale. Is that the course out of?
I don't know. You're telling the story, Don.
Anyway, I thought I'll send him up. So up he goes. It's a par three, so he could get it in one. I'm just standing there waiting for him to come down. Well, the fucking driver, whatever he used, the 9-iron, came whistling past my bloody ear like a boomerang.
Sure
he's let it go from the tee down to the green.
In a tournament at Huntingdale, I did that.
Yes.
That is an absolute lie. I would not throw – I might have thrown a club in
– I think he threatened to throw a club once.
I threatened to throw clubs, but I wouldn't do it in a tournament at Huntingdale. Well, what with other
Riversdale,
people?
Riversdale. No, Riversdale.
Oh, right. So you're just making the course up now?
No, we're not. It was opposite where you used to live in.
That's Riversdale.
Is that called Riversdale? Yeah. Well, it was there. The par three.
Now, Sam.
Yes.
You follow your golf. I don't know if you follow over Cam Smith on the weekend. Did
it's
you see?
Extraordinary.
So this guy, Don, just so you know, set the world record for the least amount of shots for a round.
32 under par.
What do you mean?
34 under par.
It's extraordinary.
No, hang on.
Ernie Els held the record from 2004 of 31 under par. So he's beaten it by three.
But how many rounds
shots
of golf's that?
Four.
Four. So hang on. Four.
I've played
just
it.
Just shut up, will you? So that means he's gone eight under on each round.
Consistently, yes.
Oh, shit.
I've played at that course, Plantation course at Kapalua. Played there.
Yep.
They've got three courses, an ocean, Kapalua and another beach course.
I'm going in June. I'm definitely
It is extraordinary. That is extraordinary, that to be eight under par for four rounds, four eights of 32, more than that.
Well, yeah.
It was 30.
Eight and a half under
it's
par.
It's absolutely unbelievable, Don. And it's all about putting.
Yeah, his putting is amazing. But
he's got a mullet.
Driving.
That's what
he's
saw.
He's got a mullet. He's superb. And he loves his fishing. And which is great. And he doesn't, you know what? He's won $2 million, so $2.5 million.
Yeah.
And they said, what are you going to do? And he goes, oh, I'm fine. I've got enough. I'm going to go. My mum's car's about 5 or 6 years old. I'll go and buy my mum a new car.
Yeah,
isn't
fair.
That beautiful?
How good is he?
Where's he from?
28 is from Queensland.
Not Rockhampton, but he's from Queensland. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you not leave here, but. Do you have an office? Do you
Sandringham? Are they going to do it? Sandringham has just been done up as the new home of golf right across from Royal Melbourne.
Yeah.
Literally across
It's nice.
Driveway road.
Yeah.
So the new home of golf, and I'll be down there probably 3 days a week, and then I'll be working from home or out on the road. I really want to get out to as many clubs as possible and go and speak to people. And
Don can put a driver's cap on. He could be your chauffeur. He could drive you around.
Will you come around with me?
Yeah. Don.
He's got the best.
Well, Don,
you entertain who?
Well, I need a chauffeur.
You need a chauffeur. And your gift to the gab and the fact that you're pleasant.
She's got the gift of the gab. Bullshit baffles brains.
Are you watching on Queensland this weekend? So we've got the PGA and the WPGA for the first time at the Australian Championships
being
played together at Royal Queensland. RQ.
O'Rourke, what's the course they used to play up there? The women's tour used to come out and play at that resort course.
Sanctuary?
No. You know.
The one with the dinosaurs where the politician went and played.
No, that's Coolum.
That's Coolum.
How did he fuck
that? I don't know, but those dinosaurs are a bit weird. But going back to, so we've got for the first time the men and the women are playing together, and the women are playing for the inaugural Kari Webb.
So do they hit off the same tees?
No,
but they're playing together, so they get the same media attention, the same 24 women. And the men's field has been reduced, obviously, to allow for the women, because you can only have a maximum of 156 or whatever players it is for a tournament.
I can't think of either of these two people's name, but the big left-hander from America that
Big Easy,
big left-hander, but hooks them and slices them huge. Yeah, has a pink
John
driver.
Daly. No,
has a pink driver, and he played with He played with the lady in. They were all pairs, all women's pairs, and he played with the lady Lindsay.
It'll come to you.
Yeah, will to. I don't even know why I started that. I'll get both those names in a minute.
So
you're going on the road to do all this?
Well, I'm going to Queensland anyway. Both my parents live up there, and I haven't seen them both for 12 months. So when I got the job, I spoke to James and said, "Look, I'll be up in Queensland." He said, "Come." So I'm spending Sunday. Cannot wait.
Fantastic.
To see, to go and watch a bit of golf.
And do you who are the top women golfers going around at the minute? I noticed that.
Well, Nellie Corder's.
No, the Australian. I noticed I'm going to call her a girl. She's from.
Minji Lee.
Minji Lee.
What she won last night. The Greg Norman.
Minji Lee and her
Min
brother.
Minji Lee is her brother, who's ranked number 49 in the world and just got into Augusta.
So there's another girl over there called. Someone green.
Yes.
And her parents are
from
one's
Victoria,
in New Zealand, one is a Maori, I think, and her mother is from
Hannah
Perth.
Green, yeah.
Hannah Green.
Yeah.
She's a star.
Yeah, she's a star. She's ranked about 24 in the world.
Yeah.
Sue O and we've got some great.
But they're all the 20 places behind all the Koreans, and they must just.
So what the Asians are dominating.
We've got four women in the top 100: Steph Kiriakou, Sue O, Hannah Green. And Minji Lee. And then in the men's, we've got seven in the top 100. So we're
Well.
Yes. So who's dominating? What country?
Well, America dominates.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, he's just talking
John
about
Rambo
Asia.
Is the,
no,
the
they're the women.
The
women,
the
Asian women dominate.
Asian women do dominate.
Yep.
Nellie Corder, though, so Peter Corder's daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, the tennis player.
Is the world
player.
Number one. She's so the US, so the WPGA... the LPGA, they're the US Open, which is the biggest major for women, have just announced, they've got a new CEO and he's brilliant, they've just announced they've doubled the prize money from $5 to $10 million US dollars, yeah. With eyes on making it $12 million. It's absolutely
extraordinary,
brilliant. Yeah, it's brilliant. And
the,
so they should.
And the sponsorship and the women do themselves up like Christmas trees. They look fantastic. They got more.
It's all in the eyes of the holder. I'll leave that.
Now they've got more sponsorship and jewellery and stuff.
This is on the golf course.
Yeah, on the golf course. They're just walking billboards. It's
brilliant.
Looks
not while
fantastic.
They're playing, though, is it?
Absolutely.
Wow.
My word, they do.
The men don't do this?
No, the men don't dress themselves up as much as the women. Sounds like this is a sexist thing, but it's not. What is the name of the big, tall left-hander that won a couple of majors.
What nationality is he?
He's American, and he's got a big, tall, thin bloke with straight black hair, and he's married. He has an adopted. Oh. He has his wife sent. They've got an adopted daughter or kids.
I think I know.
Give me. I'll Google it. Oh. Give me something to run with.
Just say tall, thin American, adopted daughter.
Left-hander.
Left-hander.
He uses a pink shafted driver. You would know.
I don't know. I should know.
And he played with the top woman golfer.
At the time.
Yeah, this is from a month ago.
Oh.
And she was the only woman in it, and he played with her off the same tees, and she was fantastic. They didn't quite win.
They were playing in the
Jason Day and the bloke from Warrnambool.
Yeah, and Tiger played with his son Charlie, and they finished second, which was incredible.
Anyway. So bad. It's anyhow,
boring. Can I ask you something?
Please,
getting away from golf, it's giving me the shits. listen, do you reflect on your life? Because after I read that article, I Googled you when I heard you coming on, and you're a qualified physio.
Yes.
Now, do you regret or giving away physiotherapy? That would have taken you years to complete.
Not at all.
And going into the media.
No, I loved helping people as a physio, and I still do. So I still help family and friends. I just don't have my license to be a physio. I found physio was fantastic, but you're in a room all day, every day, patient after patient after patient, treating people, hearing their problems, which is great to help people, but after a while it just it's too
get
much. And I'm an outdoor person, and I love talking to people, and I love being engaged, and I felt just isolated, and I wanted to give as much. I mean, you as an athlete would have known, as when you get treated, you don't want someone sticking machines on you and nicking off and walking out of the room. That gave me the shits. I hated physios who would do that just to try and, you know, get as many patients through their doors as possible. So I wanted to help people, but it was draining. And, you know, after a while. And I loved telling a story. I loved getting out and engaging and watching sport. And when the opportunity then came, which I pretty much created to, you know, to be a journalist and go out and do what I ended up doing, you know, it was a dream job. I got paid to go to sporting events as a sports fan. It was just absolutely brilliant. It was everything that I could have asked for at the time. And the dream was to host the Olympics, and I ended up doing that. And, you know, and once that happened, then I sort of had to really kind of readjust and find out what else it was that I wanted to do. And it's taken me all this time. And when this opportunity came up, it was felt like everything that I'd done had got me to the point where I could really help golf really engage and get more women involved in the game. I honestly think it could be the number one sport in Australia. And I absolutely mean that from all ages, from the age of three, from the moment you can pick up a golf club, to the age of 95, 100. You know, my dad's 83 and he still keeps playing. He's still playing golf. There's stories of 90-year-olds who hit hole in ones, you know, occasionally. Like, there's incredible stories out there of people continuing to play.
Can I ask you something else? Getting away from this.
Oh,
shut up, will you?
Go.
I
started to watch a little bit.
Oh no, hang on.
I just wanted to. I watched a little bit of the AFW, whatever it is, the other day.
Great opening game.
Oh, bullshit.
Oh,
anyway,
come on.
I turned it
Richmond
off after 5 minutes.
Okay.
Richmond have improved a bit, I can
see
that. They
improved
significantly,
but listen,
yes. Women. I was talking to a doctor about this because there were three things.
Yeah.
You know. Now, this doctor, oh, this is incredible. She was saying, is it estrogen when women reach a certain age, you know, 20, 30, because of childbirth or something along that line, the estrogen or something makes their ligaments or something more supple. Consequently, they're more prevalent to the injuries. Beg your pardon?
It's progesterone, I think. There's
progesterone or something.
Well, what happens? So when to give birth, you need your
contraction.
You need to be able to expand your pelvis
that's
for the baby
it.
To come out.
Right.
So there is a hormone that's released called
that's
progesterone
right.
that allows it. But it only really happens over... Well, they say it reverts back over a year. But there's other things called the Q angle of your hips and your elbows. So the more you... Because women have to carry a baby.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The angle of your ligaments through your hips and your knees increases the torque and the force on the ligament. So it's not straight, it's on an angle. And if something's on an angle and it's pushed, it's like a lot more likely to snap, which is why... We are seeing
but also the body
ACLs.
Shape of these women is not as defined as what you are too.
Yeah, but we're all different though.
No. Well, hang on. I look at you straight off and I see an athlete. Now, I don't not see athletes playing football.
Oh,
I see fat and overweight.
Some of them are
fat and overweight.
Well, you can say what you want, Dom. I totally
talent.
Disagree. But I think, I played last year Masters football. I played four games. It was the best thing. I loved it. But there are, you know, women running around out there who are, yeah, a lot bigger than me and muscly and taller and stronger.
Would
and
not be as muscly can, defined
can,
as you.
Who can kick the ball, who have better skills than I had. But it just depends. There's it takes all different body types to play in the AFL. You look at the AFL.
So is there a point, getting back to my original point about women at this particular time, you call it whatever else, is that the reason why the injuries are happening as they're happening because of...
Well, some of the women, so the ones that are starting in the junior ranks and coming all the way through, like the males, their conditioning will be very similar and it'll get to the point where it'll be the same. So it'll come down to their biomechanics of whether they're more likely to do a knee because of that than anything else. But the women who have started football over the last 5 years and have come off very little conditioning or different sports where your body is conditioned in another way are more likely to be injured, yes, than the men who have gone all the way through. But that's going to disappear now as all the junior ranks are filled, all the positions, and there's younger players coming into the AFLW every year. You won't... It's going to be a lot better. That's why we're saying...
You might have noticed, Don, I've been quiet. Yes. But I've been trawling. I've eventually found who I was trying to
who
think
is it?
Of. Bubba Watson.
Oh, Bubba.
And great Lexi
Bubba.
Thompson.
Yes.
They played together and they were fantastic. They were the only two mixed people that played. Jason Day played with the man from Warrnambool. What's his name? Our golfer. How am I going?
Can edit this out, boss.
He's number 7 in the world. Well,
who, Cam Smith? No, he's number 10 in the world.
Leishman, you idiot.
Oh, Nat Leishman.
I know nothing about golf,
Leishman's
you idiot.
Ranked about
Thank
35,
you.
But that'll
I've
do
been,
anyway.
I've been mozzed by Tiffany. She's intimidated me.
What? In what way?
Oh, because she's smart.
I thought it was just the appearance that's intimidating.
Well, with a wild hair.
So Lexi Thompson, I don't know why I bring this up, but that was so that they started
that
to combine the women with the men, and I notice where's she gone? That woman, I can't think of her name. The first woman that played in the men's tour. She's dropped out of it, but now big, tall, American Asian woman. Fuck, what's wrong with me, Don?
I know who you mean, and I've got a mental blank, so yes.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Google that one.
Something wrong with me. Big, tall girl, belted the ball a million miles. She played in
it. The girl from England.
I know who you mean.
She lined up and played off the same tees.
Laura Davies.
Played off the same tees as the men. I think she played with Tiger Woods.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
Michelle Wee.
Fucking well done, Michelle Wee.
She's superb.
Yeah, so they're making inroads into it. Not inroads, they have the very successful tour in their own right.
Absolutely.
And they are brilliant golfers. And people say, when the men just being a little bit naughty say, you're playing like a girl, out in the court. Of course, I said, we should be so lucky to play like the girls. They hit the ball further than
so much.
But it's more about their skill. Their short game
is
about their short game.
And their long game, they belt the ball past 90% of the male players playing. They're just fantastic. That Minji Lee is about as big as that microphone. They are extraordinary. And
brilliant athletes.
Yeah.
And it's all about timing and precision.
Okay, well now, that's...
Fabulous.
While I was burying my head...
You were a little bit worried about coming in, Tiff, I was heard.
Just didn't want it to politicise
No,
it.
If you played golf with Dan
and
Andrews.
And get me sacked before I started
Yeah, but it's...
my job.
Did Johnny give you some... Johnny give you some advice? It's not the questions you're asked, it's the answers you give. So how have you handled yourself?
I don't know. What do you think?
No, are you
brilliant.
Comfortable?
Oh, I'm very comfortable.
Never, ever worry about doing interviews and giving people, not that you
no,
did.
No, I wasn't really.
No, you didn't.
You were.
I would just...
No,
you're a bit hesitant.
No, she wasn't hesitant.
I'm starting a new
she
job,
wouldn't be here if she's hesitant.
To be respectful of the people that I was working with.
I'd say this to anyone, never ever worry about the questions you ask, no matter how impertinent they are. Say, I choose not to answer that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
And that's how it goes.
Perfect.
so have you played golf with Dan? Has he embraced...
I haven't played golf. I've never met Dan.
Well, there's a... How lucky have you been? No, I shouldn't say that. He's probably a very nice
That's
man.
That's good. See, she's learning. No answer. Very
no,
good.
No, she's
good, Tiffany.
Now, what have you got? What are you holding on to? You got your notes. What's the big V?
I was...
The big V's got a million of these. That's my notebook.
That's my notepad.
Is that you?
Well, someone sent me a whole lot of those. I use them as paper.
It's not me.
Yeah, no, it's
he's got
me.
Boxes of
sustainability component too.
That's right, sustainability. Like we're into that inclusion, yep. diversity, yep. sustainability, all the buzzwords, all the woke words.
When are we playing golf next?
I tell you what women get away with better than the men. Women can go out wearing no socks, runners, shorts,
right,
a singlet. Men have to dress themselves up like Christmas turkeys.
Oh, yeah. I see. Men walking around in stubby thongs and...
Not...
Oh, on a golf course. Well, if you
in
go
a golf
to,
course,
if
yeah.
you go to a driving range. So no. that's all... That's
If you, you go to a course that has members,
national,
you have to have a standard dress. The women can go in anything, play in anything.
I think you do need socks, don't you? And they need
not at all. I've watched. They wear those ankle socks that you can't see over the shoes. Well, you don't know that they're wearing socks.
So your whole day is all about making sure that you can see someone's a little bit of cotton over their socks.
That is absolutely.
Come on, you have to wear those.
The men do. I was asked him, was I wearing socks?
You should be more worried about where the ball's going than looking at someone's socks.
I'm not worried about it. The people who run the course say, you said you need to wear socks. I said, yes. I'm wearing socks.
Well, you've got to be respectful of what the rules that people set.
No, that's true. Well, Don, is there any. Ivan. I won't tell you why we call him Ivan. Is there any.
I choose not to answer that.
Is there any questions you'd like to ask the. The head of female engagement for Golf Australia. Any other questions you'd like to ask her?
Well, she is how many other female employees are working with you? Is it 50-50?
Good point.
That's a good point. I know that the board is certainly equality. There's equity in the board. But from across the whole organisation, I don't know the rundown. I've only just literally started on Monday and we're working from home. But... I know that Golf Australia is very much a gender equity organisation, and I know that James Sutherland is part of the Male Champions of Change, and I honestly wouldn't have worked with an organisation where the CEO was, what do you call people?
Chauvinistic.
There's a lot of a DH. So I would not... I don't
DH?
Work,
a dickhead?
Yeah, that one. Oh. I wouldn't have worked with someone who is of that calibre, and yep. he's... I've always found him outstanding, and
so it'll be
I
interesting.
Love where it's going.
It'll be interesting in 5-10 years' time to see how the hierarchy is, how many women, and
yeah, and
whether
I think,
that's
look,
built
I
up.
I think golfers yeah. have got it right.
I'm sure, so it will be.
Mm. Be a quota system like there is.
Well, there is in business.
There won't have to be. Eventually, you just don't. You want it just to be
on a merit.
On merit.
Meritocracy.
Yes.
Hey. Yes. Tiffany Cherry,
Sam Newman.
Say hello to Vivian for us.
I will.
And
she'll be disappointed that she didn't come in.
Vivian is a daughter.
Oh, your daughter.
You imbecile.
Yes. Why didn't you bring her in?
Well, oh, she said that.
In, but she's. But then at the last minute she said, can I go and have a play with
Did
Lauren?
Did you pay attention to anything
okay.
she
well,
said?
Well, okay.
She told you all that while you were dribbling on about other crap. Tiffany Cherry, the... head of female engagement
inclusion
for golf for, no female engagement for Golf Australia. Thank you. We wish you well
Thank
with
you,
your
Sammy.
Endeavor. We are sure. I am sure you'll succeed, and we look forward to women's golf going up and up and higher and higher.
Thank you. Will you invite me to play with you at the National?
Absolutely.
Done.
You can come. I'm playing tomorrow. Do you want to come down?
If I can organise a babysitter, yes. See, that's my problem.
Okay.
There you go. That week. Can you ask the National if they can look after it?
there you go.
You can come around and sit in the cart with us.
Oh, now I might actually do that.
I wind this up now, so I've got to turn this up, and this is how we finish by playing Daddy Cool.